Welcome to the Loving Wellness Podcast, your compass to embracing a holistic approach to health, one that extends love not only to your body and spirit, but also ripples outward to those around you. I'm your host, Ava Nori, a registered dietitian and your wellness BFF. Together, we'll dive deep into all the ways you can practice loving wellness in your own life and tap into the healthiest, happiest, most aligned version of yourself through both solo episodes and conversations with experts in many fields. Let's get into the show. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Loving Wellness Podcast. I hope you're having a great week, a great day, a great night, whenever you're listening to this. And I do not know how it's March, but this is the first episode of the month. So can't believe we're already 2 months down, 10 to go in the year. It's flying by way too fast. But today's guest episode is really a good one. And this episode is going to fly by really fast for you too, listening, or at least it did for me when I went back and re-listened. And you're all in for such a treat because I'm talking to the lovely Sydney Carmes-Wainer of French Squirrel today. I'm so excited to share this episode because I think it has such important conversations weaved into it for women specifically that we haven't even covered yet on this show. We talk about losing your period because of disordered eating and how Sydney ended up getting her period back after 3.5 years, which is a topic that I'm just really passionate about educating women on. So we get into that in this episode. We get into Sydney's entire business, how she started French Squirrel, what French Squirrel even is, if you haven't heard of it before. It is a hormone-friendly, French-inspired, good-for-you snack brand made with real organic ingredients. And I have been a fan of French Squirrel for so long, and I didn't even know Sydney when I first started buying her products, but I immediately fell in love. So if you haven't tried French Squirrel yet, you definitely should. You can get them at a variety of markets, which we talk about on the show, but Sydney also generously gave my listeners a discount. So if you want to go ahead and grab some French Squirrel products, my favorite are the bateau, the almond butter bateaus to be specific. They're the almond butter stuffed dates that are covered in chocolate and topped with some sea salt. It's so good, you guys. So she gave us a code. It's in the show notes below. It's LW15 for 15% off your purchase. So if you haven't tried it, definitely go ahead and place an order. They're the best. But like I was saying, we really dive deep into the story behind French Squirrel, what inspired Sydney to start this brand. We also talk about just wellness journeys in general and giving yourself permission to change and evolve on your wellness journey and finding balance and where to really find that balance of health, but also living in the gray area, as Sydney likes to call it. So I really loved that part of the conversation as well. And then we get more into the business side of things as well and talk about running a business as a woman and how to balance out that masculine energy with more feminine energy. We talk about how to show up authentically in your life, not just in business, but in every aspect of your life, both online and in person. And I know Sydney in person, and I can tell you she truly is one of the most authentic people I've met, and she just radiates this authenticity that I think you can even feel from this audio. So you guys, like I said, are in for a treat. This episode's amazing. We talk about so many other things. We talk about hormones, hormone health, blood sugar balance. We really ran the gamut with the topics we covered. So enjoy the episode. Make sure to grab some French Squirrel if you've never tried it. And if you have, make sure to stock back up. And before I let you listen to it really quickly, if you haven't yet, please take the time to give this show a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. And for updates on the show and just for more wellness content in general, make sure to give me a follow at Ava Nori Wellness on Instagram. And make sure to give Sydney a follow on Instagram as well. All her info is in the show notes. And enjoy this episode. I will talk to you all in the next one next week. Welcome, Sydney, to Loving Wellness. I'm so excited to have you here today. I've been wanting to have you on the show for quite some time, so I'm glad we found a time to chat. And I'm just so excited to hear more about your story. I've never really heard the full background on French Squirrel and how you got to where you are today. And I did give you a little bit of an intro in the beginning, but if you could just share from your perspective to my audience a little bit more who you are, what you do, how you got to where you are today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And yes, I feel like it's long overdue that we even have a conversation. For those listening, I go on a weekly Wednesday walk with Ava and a bunch of other girls. And it's a walk at 7 a.m. every Wednesday. And we don't really, we have the time to chit chat and like, you know, have minimal conversation, but I feel like we haven't done a deep dive and I think we have a lot in common. So I'm excited. Anyway, I'm Sydney. I'm the founder of French Squirrel. We make protein bites, stuffed dates, cereal clusters. We're a French inspired snacking company. We just launched actually a new product, our date peanut butter. Everything is organic and vegan, gluten-free. And really, my main focus is real nutritious ingredients that support hormones and support a healthy lifestyle, but that also taste really delicious.
And they do taste really delicious. I like don't even know how I discovered French Squirrel, but I've been buying your products, I want to say, for years now. And they're so good. My favorite are the Bateau, the chocolate covered. That's the
wow,
Bateau,
you
right?
Yeah. It so well.
Oh,
no
did
one
I?
Ever no one ever pronounced it. Yeah, that was perfect. Because Bateau means boat in French.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah, so all our products have a French name, even though right. it's not really what it is. Like the dates are not actually they're just shaped like boats. The berets are little protein bites shaped like the French hat, the beret. And then Bisou is kisses.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, bisou is kisses in French, so like little cereal kisses, and then beurre means butter in French, so like peanut butter.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I was like, why are they called berets? That's so cute, but
I
can't figure it out. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I know it's weird, but that's play on words.
No, I love it, and that was a nice compliment. I spent my summer in Paris, living in Paris, so a little bit of my French is a little bit better than it was before, so that was a nice little confidence boost. I like literally was so embarrassed there. I could not say anything.
That was perfect. I spent 6 months about living in Bordeaux in France. So I was 2 hours from Paris. It was amazing. Best time ever. And I really want to go back. I think I might go back this year just to visit.
Oh my God. Well, I want to hear about that and like your travels and France and like the connection. There were a few things actually I wanted to talk about. So maybe
go ahead.
The first, we can start with this and then get into that later. But I know a little bit because of just what I've read and prepping for this interview that you had a little journey with your own hormones and health and relationship with food. And you also lost your period at a certain point, which is, I believe, what inspired you to create this brand almost. So we haven't really covered this topic on the podcast yet, but it's very near and dear to my heart because at the height of my issues with food and disordered eating, when I was in high school, I lost my period for almost 2 years, and it's not talked about enough, even though a lot of people are open about their relationship with food. Just that piece alone of losing your period, losing your fertility, essentially, because that's what happens when you don't have a period. It's really important. So can you share a little bit more on that maybe first and how you got your period back and that whole journey?
Yes, totally. And thank you. I'm very open about this topic. And I think that so many women struggle with body image, eating disorders, overexercise, just a plethora of issues that stem from, you know, societal expectations of how women should look. And it's sad, but at the end of the day, the journey that I went on is what led me here. So I'm grateful for it, even though I did struggle a lot in college to find my way in that sense and accept my body as it is. I am grateful for that journey because it led me to start this company. Mm-hmm. So to give a small recap, I'll try as best as I can because it's a long story. When I was in college, I was at UC Santa Barbara and I was in a sorority and I loved it. It was my favorite living situation because I was in a house with like 40 plus girls. It was crazy. You know, we were all sharing meals together. And I had never previously been the type to compare myself to other girls. I've always felt very confident in my own self. But for the first time, I feel like where that took a turn was when I went to college and picked up subconsciously on other people's habits, on women talking down about themselves, like our my friends talking about their bodies, talking about what they were eating, what they weren't eating, what they cut out, what they would never touch. And then suddenly I became dairy-free, gluten-free, vegan because everybody else was. And it's like, I never had a problem with dairy. I never had a problem with gluten. So what was I doing? And I never, and I always ate meat in a very, you know, sustainable way. I was never overdoing it. Was never underdoing it. I felt like I had a really great relationship with food. And that environment, I feel like, plummeted me into that cycle of the disordered eating. And again, not blaming anyone or anything or any environment. It's just what happened. And I remember going to a doctor's appointment when I came back from my freshman year of college, and my doctor gave me a piece of advice that I never even asked for, but he just says to me, you know, you could lose a couple pounds. You could lose 2 or 3 pounds. And I was like, what? Like, I had never even thought that that was something that I had to do. I didn't feel that I was overweight because I never really had this concept of my body, as I told you.
Was it a male doctor?
Yes, a man. Yeah, male doctor, older male, like in his 50s. Yeah. And I you know, again, I appreciate the advice because it led me here. But that comment is what got me, coupled with the sorority stuff. Those two together was what, you know, got me down that path. And it all starts with good intention. Mm-hmm. It all starts with, oh, I could, you know, go to the gym a little bit more. Maybe I could drink some more water and eat some more vegetables and make changes to my health. But then it spiraled. And then that's when I lost my period because I was at a weight that my body didn't recognize. I put my body through shock. And I didn't have it for 3.5 years.
Wow.
And so I went to France to study abroad my junior year of college. And my parents said to me, like, you know, they said to me, which I'm so grateful that I have parents that, you know, intervened too and didn't just let me go through this. They're like, you're not going to France until you fix this problem. Wow. And I was like, okay. So that was really the wake-up call I needed. I think that but it's really when you decide that you're ready to heal your relationship with food. Everyone else can tell you. Friends would tell me, you know, you're looking a little thin, blah, 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 blah. But then you have to decide. So then I went to France and I said, I'm going to work on it. I tried foods that I was never used to trying. I stopped the vegan stuff. I tried to, you know, eat a little bit more eggs and fish. Not completely. It was still very much plant-based. Mm-hmm. But I tried. Long story short, I get back from France. I graduate college. But while I was in France, I developed my Instagram, French Squirrel. And it was my way of like sharing my journey with my community. I never explicitly said, oh, here's my journey to getting my period back. It was like my journey of healing my relationship with food. So I would post recipes and post like my oatmeal and my yogurt and chicken schnitzel and beef brisket and all these things I was doing, you know? And so then I'm just like making up random foods. I don't know. So, and then long story short, when I graduated college, I said, okay, I still don't have my period. This is time that I fix this. And I went to a doctor, my gynecologist, /endocrinologist, both. And she told me, oh, you know, you should go on birth control. And I'm sure you've heard this story. And I think a lot of girls go through this. And I'm sitting next to my mom and I go, why would I go on birth control and take a pill that it's something that I should innately have? Like if I'm healthy, I should have a period. That would just be a Band-Aid to cover up the issue. Why would I do that? My mom didn't understand, like, I love her, my mom. She just, that's the different generation, is like you listen to everything the doctor says. Whereas with me, I just questioned it a little bit. I said, why would I do that? So I went a different route. I tried a couple things she said, but then I tried a different route going to my acupuncturist. And my acupuncturist changed my life. Well, I changed my life, but she helped me change my life, okay? So she told me all these things. I decided I was ready to fix this issue. I started taking herbs every single day, 3 times a day. She told me, stop exercising, only walking, no running, no weightlifting, just walking. You got to chill your body out. You got to relax. You're in fight or flight mode. Your body is like crying for help. And I think that a lot of girls today, they're like, oh, I don't have a period. Whatever. Better, because I don't have to deal with that once a month. What? Like, that is literally your body's marker of health. And if you don't have your period, you don't have health. That's just fact. Because fertility is life, you know, as you said, and you said the word fertility, and I think people like shy away from it. They're like, that's a weird word, fertility. But it's women, even if you're not trying to have kids, you should always be in the state of being fertile to have kids. So then I listen to everything this woman says, bless her heart, my acupuncturist. I start eating more red meat. I start eating healthy fats, nuts, olive oil, avocado, stopping exercise, which was very hard for me. I think that was the hardest part, because I was used to, you know, running on the treadmill and weightlifting and blah, and this class and Soul Cycle and berries and all these things. And she was like, no more. And so I stopped. And I almost gave up. And at right around 3 month mark, I got my period back after doing everything she said, after going to acupuncture, doing the cupping. And that's the difference between Western and Eastern medicine. And I believe there's a blend of both. Like, I'm not exclusively tied to one. It's just that Eastern medicine peels you apart, takes a look at the root of what the problem is, and then heals from the inside out. So after 3 months, I got my period back, and here we are.
Wow. I love that story, because first of all, 3 months is a very short time to get your period back. And that just goes to show how effective it is to use other modalities and dig a little deeper and get to the root, because a lot of people think it takes a long time. And yes, it can, but it also can be really, really effective if you're doing what, like what your acupuncturist was telling you to do, which is to slow down, essentially.
Yes. And what you just said is like 3 months relative to 3.5 years is not that much time, but it's all perspective, because to my family, that was a really long time. Like, they know my whole journey. It was a long time for me. When I was doing it, those 3 months felt like years. I was like, this is not working. I don't know why this isn't working. Am I stupid? Am I crazy? Why am I doing this? Like, to take these like little pellets of herbs 3 times a day, you know, every single day, my friends thought I was nuts. They're like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But I believe in it, you know? So I think a lot of it is faith too. And that's an aspect of it too. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. And I've sent friends to acupuncture before, and they're like, they went once or twice, and they're like, meh, it's okay. You have to go many times to even feel the effects.
Consistency is so important with these things. And like you said, I'm so glad you brought that up. You also have to believe that it's going to happen for you. And oftentimes people play the victim, and there could be this mindset of like, I'm never going to get better. Well, yeah, you're never going to get better if you believe that you're never going to get better. The mind is very powerful, as we know through this placebo effect in science, but also, you know, in spirituality and just in the world of like holistic wellness. We all know how powerful our thoughts are, how powerful the words we speak to ourselves are.
Totally.
So it's really important, that aspect too. And I want to touch on one other thing you said.
Yeah.
And I know you're also like a certified hormone specialist, I believe. So I thought this would be perfect to dive into with you. So I work at a functional and integrative nutrition private practice that's based in women's health and hormones. So I deal with women with hormonal imbalances all day, and people with thyroid issues, people who have lost their period, people who have irregular cycles. And something I have to talk about with every single one of my clients is this idea of slowing down and addressing and minimizing your stress, because I think it's the most important thing for balanced, healthy hormones. And even with food too, specifically, it's like there's such a balance of not eating something because it makes you feel not good. And maybe you do have an intolerance or sensitivity or something's going on, you're healing. So it's better to cut something out for the time being versus being stressed about not eating this or that. Or what you were saying with your journey of like, I can't have this because everyone else isn't having it, and stressing about every single thing
right.
that you put in your body. So do you have any tips on like how to balance that and how you've come to a place of balance with health, but also not stressing about health and your food?
Yeah, no, that was a great question. And it's amazing that you work with so many women, very inspiring. And you are, you know, you're doing great work too. And we're doing it the same thing in different ways. Like
100%.
Even, mine is through a packaged product and yours is, you know, through your work. It's amazing.
Which I recommend to clients, your products, because they're the best.
Thank you. I think, and this is kind of the I also was going to say, I love the title of your podcast, Loving Wellness, because the word loving in front of it, it's like you have to have that vibration of like, I love this. Like, I love doing this. And I think that we're so focused on health sometimes that we've lost the key factor that goes with it, which is happiness. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about health. It's about health and happiness. And so there's this room for gray area. And I think a lot of people I find in LA too, it's like specifically LA or like the, you know, New York or Miami, these like small niche health communities, it's like black and white and it's extreme, and it doesn't have to be extreme because the healthiest people live in moderation. And we all know that. I feel like my parents have been telling me that since I was little, and I never listened. I was like, that's stupid. But now that I'm a little bit older, not that it's stupid. I just mean like, I was like, okay, yeah, again, because they repeated that all the time. Everything in moderation, everything in balance, balance. I'm like, what does that mean? Now that I'm 25, I'm like, okay, I see what that means. It means you can go on a hike and then go get smoothies and blah and hang out with your friends and do all these wellness things and go cold plunge and all that. But then also, like, if you want to go out and have cocktails with friends and, you know, go out at night too, like, that's fine also. Like, there's room for both. And I think that we've lumped people into these categories of like, if you go out and you drink alcohol, then you're not a wellness girl. That's not true. Mm-hmm. Like, I would arguably say that I think that I'm not to, you know, create a divide. I'm just saying ones that are open to doing everything are more healthy. I've spoken to my brother about this, and you know my brother, and he said, he brought up a good point the other day. He said, why do like all your wellness friends have to like create a theme over getting together? And I was like, okay. I never thought about that. Very interesting. But like, I think it's a way to get people together, but I got what he was saying. He was saying if health is your only focus, it's not actually healthy. So to answer your question, I think, because sorry, I went on a whole tangent.
No, I love it.
But I'm very passionate about I think that you can be both, you know, and there's a lot of gray areas. I think that it's about questioning things. So someone has told you, you know, you could limit your dairy intake if you actually have an intolerance, then I would explore that. But I was doing it for the wrong reasons. I was doing it because I thought that it would make me thinner and make me lose weight, which it did not even in the end. That's not what it was. I never had an intolerance. I read it in a book or watched someone on Instagram say that dairy is inflammatory. And then, you know, what's super interesting is like how that message has changed over the last few years. The same person that said dairy is bad is now saying dairy is good. Mm-hmm. I swear. I'm just like, well, okay, so now it's changed? What is it? So I think it's about tuning into yourself, what you need, and what makes you happy. If Greek yogurt makes you happy, then eat the Greek yogurt and don't go buy coconut yogurt because Susie on Instagram said that it's inflammatory. Sorry. You know.
It's so – no, I love it, and it's so important because you just brought up one of the pillars of my approach, which it is loving wellness. And thank you for the compliment about the name because it really is – it's a two-pronged thing. It's like – it's approaching wellness from a loving place within you, but it's also loving the wellness, loving what you're doing, loving being well and doing the things that you're doing to be well. Because if you're not, and if you're not having fun and bringing joy into the process, what is the point, right?
Totally.
So what you said about going out or, you know, having the balance of it all, if it makes you happy to drink alcohol with your friends and go out, please do it. It's going to add to your life, right?
Right.
But if it doesn't, don't also make the people who are saying that it will allow you to like make those decisions from a place of, oh, I need to be doing this to have fun. So it's so important, like you said, to go back to yourself and like what is true for you, what makes you happy and what makes you feel joyful and in your loving, right? And the intention behind it. Like you said, the intention behind your not eating dairy was not because you don't feel good. It's because you read somewhere or heard somewhere that it's not good, right?
And wellness is so much more than just food. Like, why are we only focused on food and exercise? It's like, it's the content you consume. It's friends, it's family, it's your mental health, all these things. And so it's not just food. And I think for a while I thought it was just food and exercise. Mm-hmm. And also there's permission to change what makes you happy. So I think for a while, like I was doing Pilates for a while and I was like, I'm kind of over this now. Like I was doing it for a couple times because it was making me happy. Like I enjoyed going. I looked forward to going to Pilates and going to my coffee shop after. And then after a while, like a couple months in, I was like, I could stop this now. And now I go to my dance class, which I think you see on my Instagram. I go every
Sunday.
Which
I love.
And I break a sweat more than ever. Like I'm dripping in sweat, but I'm having the best time and I'm loving it. And I think that but then I bring some friends love it, but they're not, they don't love it as much as I do. And that's just not, everybody is so different, you know? So I'm not into Pilates, but that's okay. You know,
and that's okay. Even though everyone else will tell you to be into Pilates, that is okay.
And tomorrow I might say, oh, maybe I'll go to a class. It might change.
Exactly. It's also like we're always changing. Our bodies are always changing and we're all so different from one another. So it's all about what's right and true for you in that moment too. Not forever, because nothing's forever. Like you said, the plant-based people on the internet, most of them are no longer plant-based, including myself. Mm-hmm. So nothing is forever. And that's a whole another tangent, which I have a solo episode on why I'm no longer vegan and that whole journey. Okay. And I talked about it with Anna too on our podcast. So interested, go listen to that, everyone listening, if you haven't. But I want to talk about you and your business, actually, because I know this all kind of led to the creation of French Squirrel. Yes. So it was an Instagram at first, and then now it's a packaged food company. Yep. So how did that happen? How did it get started? And how did you create this amazing business?
Thank you. So the really funny story is that when I was little, maybe like 11 years old, something like that, I wrote a book report, some project in elementary school or middle school. And I wrote at the end of the book report, I'm going to open up a restaurant called French Squirrel.
Oh my God.
And I named that, I said that because my French grandmother, my late French grandmother, Sarah, used to pronounce the word squirrel really weird. She's like, regarde les squirrels, which means like, you know, watch the squirrels, look at the squirrels. And she had a very thick, heavy French accent. And I don't know, I came up with that name. And then my mom went on GoDaddy and bought the domain name FrenchSquirrel.com when I was so little. And she paid the $5 or whatever it was every single year until I don't know why. I don't know why she kept this website. And then when I was creating my food Instagram, which I didn't want anyone to know it was me. So in college, no one knew that French Squirrel was me. It was kind of weird and creepy. It was like an alias with the squirrel icon. Like I didn't want like guys to know that it was me. Right. And so I just.
That's so funny.
It was just squirrel icon. Like I was like a unisex character. Okay. No one knew who it was. Okay. And this was, that's how it was for a few years. I didn't change it to my personal account till later. So I had this account, French Squirrel. And then eventually I decided I wanted to start my own food business with the name French Squirrel. And so I got it, you know, incorporated and created a legal business entity. And I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do with this business. So after I graduated college, I left UC Santa Barbara early. I graduated early. I always say left early. And then when I say left early, people think that I didn't graduate. So excuse me, graduated early. So many people say that.
She's a college educated girl.
Yes. I'm not a dropout, I promise. So I start working for Erewhon in their corporate offices. That was my first job out of college. And I did a couple rounds of interviews with them. And I said, I'm obsessed with you guys. I love your brand. I love Erewhon. I know every brand in your store, I swear. Like, I was just name dropping all these brands that I know and saying how much of like a foodie fanatic I am. And I was working there very recently up until the last few months. So I was working for Erewhon for almost 4 years.
Wow. I didn't know that it was that recent.
Yep. From February 2020 to now, I stopped working for them in March of this past year. Wow. And I officially ended, we were doing a consulting arrangement, and I officially now January 1, 2024, I'm full-time French Squirrel. So it was like almost 4 years that I was working for them, and it was amazing. I learned so much. My mentor is Vito Antochi. He's the owner's brother, and he's like an uncle to me, and he taught me so much. And when I was just working there behind my desk in their downtown office, I was bringing my little protein bites, which are now called berets, but I would bring those protein bites, and it was my way of having like a little French moment, une pause, which means a pause, a little break. When I lived in France, I used to go see that any time of day, people were just outside, even for 30 minutes to an hour, with a little croissant and a coffee or a little pastry, something, and just taking a moment to like ground. And we don't do that here. We're always go, go, go. Where you're in France, when I was studying there, you cannot eat during class. You cannot eat when you're studying at the library. You cannot eat at the office while you're working. When it's the meal time or snack time, it's away from the computer, away from the desk, away from the screen, you know, all of that. And so that was my way around like 3-4 o'clock when I was working at Erewhon. I would just take a little pause, and I would eat my little protein bites that I made from home. They're just my recipe. And my boss is like, why do you keep eating the same snack every single day? It's a little weird. And I was like, well, they're just my protein bites and whatever. It's just my recipe. He goes, well, can I have some? I go, sure. I give him the protein bites and he says, I don't know what you're doing thinking of business ideas. This is your business idea. And I was like, what? So sometimes, you know, advice for the audience, sometimes you don't realize the idea is literally smack in front of your face and you just have to open your eyes. And I would eat these protein bites every single day. Like it was my real ingredient, you know, hormone balancing, blood sugar balancing treat. And I took his advice. And I started working in a commercial kitchen. I started making the product, recipe and development, doing different flavors, peanut butter, almond butter, sunflower seed butter. And I launched at Erewhon after just 2 months of developing the recipe. And I, you know, I get a graphic designer that I found on Instagram who supports women-owned businesses. And I just launch.
Wow.
Okay. Like on Instagram, I posted a picture on my French Squirrel Instagram, still the unisex alias. No one knows that it's me. Okay. Still, I have to just say that because it's just iconic, you know? And I post it. I go, hey guys, so excited. I just launched our berets at Erewhon and amazing. Go get them. And long story short, after selling out every weekend, I was like, okay, I can't keep my full-time job at Erewhon and make this. So I had to find manufacturers to make it for me while I could still work and build the business. So long story short, I've launched many products throughout the years and now I'm here.
Wow, that is quite the story, and I love how organic it was. You literally ate these things every single day, and now they're your business. It was right in front of you the whole time. That's amazing. And congrats on like being full time. That's huge.
Thank you. Thank you. It was very recent. So just like a month ago, because we're February now. And the dates were my own snack too. The dates were what I would eat as a pre-workout or as a midday snack. So like everything that I've developed is something that I wanted in a product. I loved Muddy Buddies. Do you know Muddy Buddies? It's cereal Chex Mix with Skippy peanut butter traditionally and like powdered sugar, and it is so sweet and processed, and it's the best. Don't get me wrong. I would eat that all the time as a kid, and my parents would yell at me that it was too much sugar and that I had to stop making it. Okay. And so I said, how do I make my favorite childhood snack into an adult version? And that's the Bizzou, the cereal cluster. So everything that I've done is something that I needed or wanted. But yeah, thank you. People are always saying how amazing it is to run your own business. It is, but the truth of the matter is that yeah, I was working full time up until last month.
Yeah, that's really important to share too. Like, it's not as glamorous as it seems, and oftentimes it's juggling 100 things at once. And even, I mean, with CPG too, it's like
Not at all. Yeah, it's not.
the packaging, the shipping, like it is so much. So I commend you for putting yourself through that while also working full time and
Thank
eventually
you.
becoming full time on this. And the reason I fell in love with it years ago when I first saw it in Erewhon was because I used to make stuffed dates, and I'd put ch 100% cacao chips in there because I love 100% cacao. The ones,
Oh
I
my
mean,
God, amazing.
Trader Joe's doesn't have them anymore, but they used to make these like 100% cacao chips, and
I know what you're talking about. Oh my God, those are the best.
So
Yeah,
good.
I think that there's also a misconception about chocolate and in this industry. And it's cacao is an insanely nutritious superfood. It's just that I want to say the American market, but I don't know, big food, the industry, the chocolate industry has completely destroyed how we view cacao. Because the chocolate that we know, Snickers, Reese's, Twinkie, not Twinkie, sorry, Twix.
Twix, but
Not
also
Twinkie, Twix.
Twinkies.
All but all of those, that's sugar. It's sugar and milk fat and emulsifiers and artificial colors, artificial flavors. Like so many cultures have been consuming cacao in beverages as real 100% cacao, amazingly high in antioxidants, magnesium, so good for women, for sleep, for stress. It's literally a mood booster. Like they've done studies, and if like people that have chocolate are happier people.
Copper
Swear.
too, so high in copper, which is really important for your hormones. I
I know
mean,
you're into the nutrition stuff, so like
yeah.
real chocolate is good for you. Don't let the processed chocolate lie to you.
100%. And when I found a product that had 100% cacao as an ingredient instead of adding sugar into it and all these other things and all the emulsifiers, I was so excited. So I really think that that's why your brand has grown so much, is because you're making things that people are excited about and that make them feel good too. Like you said, they're blood sugar balancing. They're not going to give you this crazy blood sugar spike after you eat them because they're not laden with processed sugar. That's honestly what it is.
So I have hypoglycemia, so I have low blood sugar, and that happens to me where sometimes I get the shakes and I get a little dizzy if I don't have a balanced meal or snack. And so that's really also a reason why I created it. But I've done the glucose monitor on my products. And I've tested it out on myself and on friends as well to see what happens when I give you our protein bites or our dates and how that impacts your blood sugar. So I think people hear, oh, dates, and then they go, oh, that's high in sugar. First of all, it's all natural sugar. It's nature's candy, nature's fruit. But it's better to pair your date with a fat like peanut butter or almond butter than eating the date alone. The date can spike your blood sugar a little bit, not as much as real candy because it has a lot of fiber. But when you put peanut butter and almond butter and even the cacao as healthy fats, it creates a stable blood sugar level. And that's why, you know, it's always better to dress your carbs. I don't know if you've heard that, but
of course.
It's not really about, I know it's a weird saying, but I really like it. It's better to have avocado or peanut butter on your toast than it is to have toast alone. It's better to have your date with peanut butter or your apple with almond butter than to have the fruit or the sugar on its own. So it's some food for thought.
And I love that you tested it too with the CGM. I think that's so smart.
Oh, yeah.
Like literally show you like, this is good for your blood sugar. Like, don't worry. Because there is a misconception around dates, especially like you said. I'm Persian, as you know, and dates are like a staple in our culture, in our diet. And if you have like 5 dates on an empty stomach, yes, it will spike your blood sugar, but that's why the dressing, the carbs is so important. And I love the almond butter ones. That's like my favorite French squirrel product. And I just think it's brilliant what you've done. So thank you for sharing a bit more on that.
Yes, dates in Farsi is khorma, and I have to thank my Persian friends for introducing me to dates for sure, because that they really did, and the juiciest ones are at the Persian market in Los Angeles.
Yours are really good too. Like, oftentimes date products are very dry, but French squirrel isn't.
Oh no, yeah, ours are juicy.
Yeah,
ours are juicy also. I just mean that if you're in LA and you want regular dates, the ones at the Persian market are great,
but
we have to use organic ones. So we use all organic dates. They're from Coachella Valley. They're super juicy. And the medjool date is the queen of dates because they're big, jumbo, and sweet.
Oh, the best. And I literally am going to go eat some dates after this, probably.
I feel like I'm getting hungry too.
So I am so just happy for you that this has become your full-time job, this whole business. And I want to know really like how has that, and not even just being full-time, but just this business, creating this business and being an owner of a CPG company, how has that pushed your own growth, whether it's spiritually, mentally, just generally as a human being? We talked a little bit physically about how you healed your relationship with food, but just your own inner growth, has that, I mean, I assume it has definitely been impacted by this whole journey, but what are some of the things you've learned?
Yeah, no, thank you. It's a really nice question. I don't think anyone has ever asked me that before, so I appreciate it. And I've been on a couple podcasts, and I don't think anyone has asked that question in the way that it actually very much hits home for me, because I feel like this, you know, I know this is a little woo-woo, but I mean, I know you don't care.
We love all the woo-woo here.
I feel like this business and this industry or whatever, it's like a spiritual assignment. And what I mean by that is it's tested me so much. Like when I first, before I started this business, I think I've always known myself as being a pretty calm individual, like very stable, level-headed. Nothing really like knocked me down too much or brought me up too much. I've always been pretty neutral in the best sense of the word. Like I get excited over things, I get upset over things, but nothing has ever really like taken me to the floor, if that makes sense. And there's a problem in business every single day. And I don't mean that in a negative way. There's something, it's business. And this has tested me a lot. It's also tested my inner growth in the sense that I've been put in uncomfortable situations where I have to speak up for myself, being a young female as well, and in, you know, inserting myself into the room and speaking up and speaking my mind and negotiating. And all these things have actually created a lot of turmoil in my body. And it's about finding a place to calm and ground. And I've actually never talked about this even. So apologies if this is coming out weird.
It's not.
Yeah, but it's tough. And it's something, it's a huge lesson. It's the most, if you want to test yourself and your inner and grow, start a business.
Yeah.
Because you cannot control what's happening. And so I'll give an example. I had a shipment of product. I, you know, was out of stock on one of my best sellers, and I had this shipment come in and it was so delayed because of something that I've never even thought about. There were weather delays in Montana. Mm-hmm. And so it was snowing and the product was stuck in transit in the snow.
Oh,
I'm like,
gosh.
Oh my God. And all my customers are emailing me, where's the product? My stores are emailing me, where's the product? And I'm starting to get anxious. And I realize, okay, I have zero control over this. Mm-hmm. It's something that I have to put my hands up and say, and I have to surrender. And the second I did that, this was literally last week. The second said, I surrender, my hands are up, nothing I can do. Second I did that, the next day, your package has been delivered. And I was like, well, not package. Pallet of thousands of bags.
Right.
Have been, and I'm like, okay, there we go. And when I first started the business, I could not do that. When I first started the business, I was like, oh my God. Okay, I'm going to call this person. And that, and I was frantic and it literally raised my cortisol levels through the roof. And I feel like now I've come to a place where like I have control when I have control. And when I don't have control, it is okay. And it's been really hard on my perfectionist, you know, eldest daughter syndrome, if you know what I mean. Like, that's the spiritual assignment, is that I've had to learn how to calm myself down. And I never knew that I had that part of me inside. I always thought I was calm. I always thought I was level-headed and stable. And this business has tested me like no other. Seriously. And I'm very grateful for it. But to come on here and say that everything is rainbows and butterflies on with this business, wrong. There's an issue mm-hmm. every day.
Well, thank you yeah. for sharing that and being so yeah. transparent, because it's important to talk about the not so good things. And, you know, totally. You said something really important of like, before you would freak out and you'd be really frantic. And now yeah. you've become so much more calm and willing to surrender it up. And I wanted to ask you about like, how do you balance, because your business is such a huge part of you, how do you start to find that work-life balance with the surrender? But are there any other things that you do to make sure that you and your business yeah. because they're not separate, but to start to separate yourself from it a little bit.
It's so important. I think this past year, 2023, was the year that I figured out the balance. Whereas the previous year, I mean, I just kept working and working and everything was work. And the boundaries blurred. And thank you. I appreciate it. Like they're not separate, but they also are at the same time. Like, Sydney is not French Squirrel.
Right.
You know, and in the sense of the fact that I'm not my business, you know, I'm part of the business, but there's so much more to me than just French Squirrel. I'm multidimensional. It's not just this business. And if I had to separate my self-worth from the business too, and I'm still working on it, it's like if sales, you know, are up, or down, or up or down, that has nothing to do with my worth as a human being. You know, like it's not my fault, or, you know, I could maybe, it pushes me to do better, to sell and increase my volume. But if I had a bad week of sales, that's not something that I need to take on, you know, and it's not Sydney that needs to be so depressed over this mm-hmm. and instead use it as ammo. But I think what I did to find balance is the masculine feminine energy thing. Mm-hmm. I feel that in my role as a CEO, it's very masculine and I'm always making decisions. I'm always trying to control things and call this person and email this person and making this happen every single day. And what I find has helped me a lot achieve balance is to do things like, sounds so silly, I know, but doing my hair, getting my nails done, taking a bath, like going to my dance class instead of going to lift weights all the time, which I like, but going to dance, doing more flowy things, dressing myself up, cooking, you know, slowly doing baking and not like rushed frantically. And those feminine things, adding that in this year has helped me so much. And it's not to say that those are feminine things. Like, guys can cook too and take
right.
a bath also if they want. But you know what I mean?
I do. And I think that's so important, that masculine aspect of owning your own business and doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be on all the time. And sometimes we just got to turn it off. And like you said, take a bath. Like,
I know.
So important.
I know. And I told you that this week too when I ran into
yeah.
you. Because I said, sometimes I feel like on the morning walks, I'm a little bit more quiet. But that's just because I'm always – you know, in my masculine, that sometimes I'm just like, I'm going to walk in silence at the moment.
Which is okay, and which is important to like take a step back and see what you need in that moment. And I love that about you. I love that you were able to do that for yourself. And so often people, this kind of comes around to the next thing I wanted to ask you before we wrap up is like, you radiate this authentic energy and you're unapologetically yourself. And I know for some time you maybe didn't feel like that when you were dealing with, you know, your disordered eating and in the past and maybe in college. And I just think that if we were all a little bit more like what you said, doing what's right for us and being authentic, like the world would be a lot better off. So before we end, do you have any kind of words of wisdom for people listening who just want to show up more authentically in their lives? They feel this inkling and maybe they feel like they can't, or maybe they feel like they have a fear of being judged or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, love this question. And it's kind of crazy because I went on a yoga retreat last year. I go on these yoga retreats with, you know, different entrepreneurs and like-minded people. And I wrote in caps, it was like one word for 2024 that you want to embody. And I wrote authenticity in huge letters, like on my journal. And now you're just asking me this. And somebody asked me this 2 days ago, a very similar question, like, how do you show up as your authentic self? And that word has just kept coming as I've, you know, put it on there. And the word authenticity has changed for me a lot. I used to think that it was only positive, but in order to be your authentic self, you also have to face uncomfortable things and sometimes negative things and own it and accept it, you know? So
I
would say, yeah, your shadow, correct. And I always thought authenticity was like, oh, you know, like being my authentic self. But I got to accept some of the parts about myself that I'm trying to work through and work on, and why certain things make me uncomfortable. And if certain situations are uncomfortable, but I'm being my authentic self, then that's authentic. Like, it is okay to be in uncomfortable situations. So I would say, a lot of people ask me how I met a lot of my aligned friendships today. It was because I was authentic online, being myself on my Instagram, posting really whatever I wanted. I didn't care what anyone thought. I was like, I'm going to post about why I eat sunflower seed butter a week before my period because it helps with progesterone. And even guys were looking at this and I was like, you know what? If a guy looks at this and isn't interested, then it's not going to be my guy. You know, like that's me. I'm interested in those things. And I would say not caring what other people think as much. I know that's cliche. And then when it comes to body image, what you were just saying about that, and you know, it's okay to want to change certain parts about yourself. I don't mean to say, oh, you have to accept your body as it is and you can't achieve some aesthetic goals. I understand. I get that. There are people that want to build muscle or like do certain exercises in the gym, all these things. But at the end of the day, you have to know who you are. And I tried to change my body from something that I knew that I wasn't. I tried to make myself this stick thin person. I never have been. I always had a little, you know, like larger legs. Not that I'm saying that I'm large, but I had like soccer legs. I always had a different build. I was never the stick thin girl. And the second that you try to go against your genetics, it's a downward spiral. Genetics is a lot of it. Your build is a lot of it, and it's beautiful. And I think that a lot of women are always trying to change it. And again, minor changes, I understand. Like, you know, you want to go to the gym, build the booty. Like, I got it. But in general, I had to accept, like, this is my body. You know, this is who I am. And this is how I walk through life. And it's important to accept that, because if you can't accept that, it's just you spend your whole life changing your body for what? There's so much to offer more than just what you look like.
That was a beautiful answer. And you touched on so many different aspects of it. So thank you. And it's a beautiful note to end on of like, you are not your body, and just being in acceptance yes. of not just your body, but like the traits about you that maybe you aren't so happy with. You can change those too, but yes. also just accepting the things about you that make you you is so important. And I think that's what makes other people so drawn to you and your work and you online is because you do embody your authenticity and who you are. So thank you for sharing that with us today. And before we end, I have a few rapid fire questions I ask everyone.
Okay.
So the first one, this one I actually don't ask everyone, but I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite French squirrel product? I know it's hard.
Choosing a favorite child. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to say two right now. I'm going to say the dates, probably my peanut butter stuffed dates. They're my favorite. And then honestly, I am really obsessed with my own peanut butter right now. My date peanut butter in a jar. I literally have it on my desk.
I love that.
I eat it every single day. It's amazing. It's made of four ingredients, organic peanuts, organic medjool dates, cinnamon, and sea salt. And this has become like my favorite product. So yeah, it's a tie. But then I also love the Bizou too. Okay, sorry.
I know that. I knew that would be a hard question for you to answer. Thank you for choosing two.
The two that I eat the most often are the dates and the peanut butter in the jar, because I just put peanut butter on like my whole life. So yeah.
I love that. Yes. Amazing. Okay, so the first one I ask everyone is, what's your favorite fruit?
Raspberries.
Love. What's your sun sign in astrology?
Okay, love this. I'm a Scorpio.
Ooh. I don't think I've had a Scorpio on the show before. And if I did, I'm sorry.
I'm actually listening. A double Scorpio.
Oh, wow.
Scorpio sun and moon.
Interesting. I don't know much about Scorpio. I don't have many in my life. Do you feel aligned with it?
A lot. Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And I know not everyone's into the astrology thing. I'm pretty into it.
Yeah.
I just like it. I'm a Pisces rising, Scorpio moon and sun. And wow. Scorpio is a very a lot of water, emotional, but keeps the emotion a little bit hidden sometimes, and it's a little there's some darkness, but it's a darkness that provides meaning and reflection to life, which I really, really like. And a little fiery. Even though it's a water sign, it's like really fiery and
passion.
And intuitive. Passion.
Yeah.
Intuitive as well. Passion is a great word. Passion, fire, loyal. Mm. Like loyal to the bone. That word for me is very important. Loyalty with friendships and in family and in business relationships too. I'm very loyal. Like if, you know, my distributor for French Squirrel, like I'm very loyal to him, you know, and I stuff like that. So yeah.
I love that. That's amazing.
Wait, what are you?
I'm a Leo.
I love Leo. I love Leo.
We love Leos too, us Leos.
Yeah.
I'm a Leo with a Virgo rising, which is also very me, the Virgo with health and
love it.
Just like organization and the type A part of me, very Virgo.
Amazing. And your moon?
My moon is in Libra. That's like the more spiritual side of me, I guess.
Okay. Continue. Oh my God, I'm so
No, I love it. I love talking about this stuff. What is one book that changed your life that you would recommend to everyone? Even though I know you don't read as much as you as I ran into Sydney the other day and she was reading a book at a cafe and she was like, do not be fooled. I do not read that much. And I was like, me too, sister. I have like a stack of unread books on my bedside table. So I get it.
Oh my God. Well, I will give the two books that I actually read and really enjoy. The Defining Decade by Meg J for 20 somethings. I loved that book and I thought it was very, very helpful for anyone in their 20s that's trying to figure out their purpose and identity. So that's number one. Number two, this is your brain on birth control.
Ooh.
So for any of my the girls listening that are contemplating getting off of birth control or want to know more about birth control and how it affects you and your brain, I love that book. I thought it was super interesting and it provided me with a lot of insight.
Amazing. What is one habit or ritual that you do every day that's a non-negotiable for you?
I would say my nightly tea. I think no matter what the weather is outside, almost every night as my wind down, I have my mug of herbal tea and my French squirrel date almost like every night. If I'm not doing it's not like a night that I'm out or having like a different dessert, but if it's just like my night in, I have my tea and date.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And everyone always says something about the morning and their morning rituals, but I love that it's a nightly one.
I know you were good. I thought you said, you said every day. And I'm like, usually people say morning, which I also have my cappuccino and I love my morning coffee. But Scorpio is a night owl. So.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that. Well, the last question and what I leave every listener or guest with and listener is this podcast, as we've talked about, is called Loving Wellness. So what does loving wellness mean to you?
I think it means being happy and healthy, mm-hmm. as we talked about. It's having both, because you can't have one without the other. You know, health mm-hmm. is number one. You can't even be alive if you don't have your health and be alive to be happy. But you also can't be healthy if you don't have happiness. Happiness is part of health. So, yeah.
A huge part.
That's what I would say.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on and for just sharing with my listeners. This was so lovely. And I loved this episode so much. I think this is going to help so many women out there. And before we end today, where can everyone find you, find French Squirrel, buy your products, all the things?
Thank you. You can find us on our website, frenchsquirrel.com. We sell online and ship all over the U.S., We are also on Instagram, TikTok, frenchsquirrel.co. And I am also personally on Instagram, Sydney_KW, if you want to follow me for my restaurant reviews.
Yes.
And in stores, I love my restaurant. In stores in California, we're in Erewhon, we're in Jimbo's, Mother's, Bristol Farms, Lazy Acres, Berkeley Bowl in NorCal. And then in Foxtrot, for my Chicago people and Texas people, and also the Fresh Market all over the South and East side. Yeah, the Fresh Market was our most recent launch.
Huge.
And it's 87 stores. So that's like in Georgia, Alabama, Kentucky, all over there. So yeah.
Amazing. That is such a huge win. And I'm so proud of you and so happy that we connected this year. And thank you so much again for being on. This was amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening.